If you were in an airport over the 4th of July holiday, there's a chance you saw some new technology as you were checking in. Facial recognition scans. It might not seem like a big deal at first. I mean, some consumers are even unlocking their phones with facial scans. But privacy researchers are wary, saying that this technology is not necessarily secure. And it's just one more piece of private data individuals are giving away to both big companies and the government. Allie Funk is tracking all of this. She's a research analyst for Freedom House. Allie, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, nice to be here.
So, I want to get into how this actually works, but is it just people checking in? Is it checking out? Because I ran into this checking out of Newark Airport a while ago. What is going on?
It's a great question, and I think we're all kind of trying to figure that out as well, because the programs aren't as transparent as we would hope as, you know, regular ordinary travelers, but also as a human rights researcher. So TSA, the Travel Security Administration, is actually using it in different ways. So you can use it if you have TSA PreCheck. They may be collecting some biometric data from you. But CBP, Customs and Border Protection, they're actually using facial recognition when you board the plane, particularly for international travel right now. And they're partnering with different airline companies. So Delta has a program with them, JetBlue, American Airlines. So they're actually using facial recognition during the boarding process. So instead of handing over your passport, they can take a facial scan, and then it matches to a database that they have that is populated by different visa applications, images from your passport, visa applications. So it's being used at the boarding process. It's being used throughout the airport. We're trying to figure out a little bit more detail. But, you know, right now, it's supposed, all these systems are supposed to be opt out. So you have the right not to do it. But
that's not what happened to me at Newark Airport, though, Allie. I was very confused. Said, wait, why am I doing this? Why are you? And this was leaving after an international flight.
Yeah.
And not only were people in line behind me very upset, but the people who were doing the scan were also very upset. They had no idea whether I could opt out and just said, you got to do it. And so I had to do it.
Yeah. So that is the problem, right? You know, I just went through this experience. I was in Detroit and I was boarding an international flight, and Delta over the intercom was like, we're using facial scans, no need for your passport. And I was waiting for the, hey, you can opt out if you don't feel comfortable and this is how you do it. It never came. So it seems like we had a similar experience. But yeah, so CBP and TSA have affirmed that this is an opt-out system. But as we know, they're not communicating that it is, and they're not telling travelers how to do that, which is really worrisome. So that's why we're trying to do a lot of advocacy around you can opt out. This is how you do it. And this is probably why you should do it as well.
So why should you do it? Because how is our data, like what happens when my face gets scanned by Delta or American or whoever?
Yeah. So what's happening, you know, on the technical side is it's creating a facial scan, which is kind of just a map of your face. It's creating indicators like, hey, how far are your eyes apart? Where's your chin, your cheekbones? That facial scan is created by an algorithm that can then be matched to your identity. So it goes off to, it compares in another imaging, so that matches your face to your passport and then confirms your identity. So, you know, it may sound, oh, that's great, that's quick, that's convenient, but there's some really serious privacy concerns and also some really technical issues. So just starting, you know, with starters for the technical concerns is facial recognition, it's not reliable and it's not accurate. So there's been a lot of research done on this. One report that I was reading said that for white men, it's 99% accurate. But for women who have darker skin, there's a 35% error rate. So that's pretty big. And then on top of that, there are all these privacy and civil rights concerns because the data is not being secured. We don't know how it's being stored, if that's secure, and it's probably not because there's already been data breaches. And then also, there are just larger civil rights concerns of how is the government and how are private companies using this data? Are private companies as Delta, American Airlines, are they going to be using it for commercial concern? And is the government using it, maybe giving it to law enforcement to maybe, you know, even look at peaceful protests?
Why are so many people so willing to sort of do this? I mean, is it because they think it's convenient? They're not aware of the civil rights concerns? Because like I said, I was the lone person on that line that was causing quite a concern about my face being scanned and nobody was on board.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think there's a couple of things happening here, particularly airports. Travel's really stressful, especially international travel. People are sick of the long lines. They want to board. They want to get comfortable in their seats, or they want to get through customs quickly. So, you know, people, the airlines are saying, this is for convenience. This is for you as a customer. So I think that's an incentive to do it. I think also, you know, ICE and CBP have really pushed the line of this is for security. So people may say, okay, whatever keeps me safe. And also, I think there's just a lack of understanding about actually what are the concerns of this technology and the implication of its being used, not just in the airport, but in everyday life.
So we've seen an example that really quickly on Sunday, the Washington Post reported that the FBI and ICE were using scanning state driver's license databases for facial recognition technology. Is that one of those examples you're talking about? I always call it like when they start to connect the pipes, you know, about facial recognition scans one place and something else. That's where I get concerned about data. Mm-hmm. So is that what you mean when everyday world sort of comes together with our facial recognition scans?
Exactly. So, you know, we may be, if you're a traveler, you're consenting to this use within that specific environment, but we have no idea if CBP is sharing that information. And I think the reporting out of the Washington Post yesterday really underscores that. So, you know, when we got our driver's license, we gave our image. I never said, here, I want to drive and need my driver's license. Feel free to use this image to the FBI or ICE for whatever purpose. So you Americans aren't consenting to the ways in which their data is being used. And I think it's even more troubling with your face because you can't get a new face. You can get a new email address if your identity is stolen, but your face is your face and you can't hide it.
So Allie, really quickly, we've got just under a minute left. If I want to opt out, how can I do that?
I think the first thing for the travelers to be aware, which means you have to pay attention where it's being used, because sometimes it may not be used as obvious. So at the boarding process, if you see it, just say, hey, I want to opt out. Here's my passport. It should be as easy as that. If you're going through customs line, you should ask an airport representative how to opt out, because we've been assured that right now that's the way to do it. And we need public pressure to try to resist this new technology.
Allie Funk is a research analyst for Freedom House. Thank you so much, Allie.
Thank you so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.